You're listening to Super Dimensional Podcast, where we explore the world of Macross SDF-related anime, trying to find connections to the success that launched an entire generation of anime in the West.
So we're good. I assume it means we're recording.
Yes.
Welcome to the Super Dimensional Podcast, where we review anime with a connection to to Macross SDF. Today we're reviewing Gundam Wing. And to take us away, we're going to talk about the connection to SDF. So really, from a personal connection, let me kind of share the... Oh, so I'm Matt, by the way.
Yeah, I'm Marsh.
Yeah, so I have another person here with me. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So here's the personal connection for me. And we talked about it a little bit in one of the earlier podcasts, which is we wanted more Macross SDF, and what we got was Wing. And I had to look that up and really understand from a timeline standpoint, and it came down to the fact that Gundam Wing aired its first day on Toonami on March 6, 2000. And you want to know what aired almost a year earlier and had a chance to play through?
Yeah.
I mean, it almost to the day, March 17th, 1999, Robotech.
Yeah, like 99 and 2000 was when all the shows, like Dragon Ball Z, like the redone, the expanded version where they kept going. Like all those shows kind of came out at the same time. And just to date us, we were basically in high school at the time. So it was very formidable time for us. And so all of these shows, we have like a personal connection to, more than just like looking for links.
Yeah, so this one, it's definitely a little bit more of a personal connection, and being as we try to stick to like an SDF plus one connection, meaning, or N plus one, but SDF plus one is what I jokingly call it, where we try to do direct correlations. For us, this is more of a personal one. We've referenced it in other podcasts too. The other thing I wanted to bring up is this wasn't even the first Gundam to feature a Gundam that turns into a plane either. Mm-hmm. That was technically Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, which came out in 85, 86.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought this was the first one.
No, I had to look it up too. I thought so as well, but
so
I'm like
that was Macross AF.
It was, but specifically for Gundam Suit Zeta, for Mobile Suit Gundam. Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam. This is as bad as trying to pronounce a Formula One team when you try to pronounce Gundam names. They start getting a little crazy sometimes. So, I had fun. I was plugging it into AI. I'm like, find me any connection between Gundam Wing and Macross SDF. And even AI is like, no, sorry. I mean, there's similar-ish animes, but that's about where it ends. I'm like, thanks, AI. Mm-hmm. You did a little bit more digging, though. Do you want to tell us about that?
It's kind of a N plus two connection, it'll probably be the next episode after this. But the connection is Katsuyuki Sumisawa, which he is a writer. He was the main writer for Gundam Wing, and he was a writer for Sailor Moon. And you're like, wait, what? Watch the or listen to the next episode. So the link to Macross is the main writer for this worked on Sailor Moon. That is the closest we can get.
Pretty much mandates Sailor Moon, which we may or may not have already watched the first two episodes of. That's about it for a connection. But obviously, again, that kind of super deep personal connection.
So what I'm guessing, like with the personal connection, what we're trying to check here is we were introduced to both Gundam Wing and SDF essentially the same time.
We had already gotten SDF in our system.
But we were introduced to it basically at the same time of our lives, and it almost like kind of the same amount of time passed before we were more or less reintroduced to it. Like a couple of times since then, I remember trying to watch Gundam Wing and never really got into it. I've never watched it in full since basically high school.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to kind of look at it from our perspective, because at the time, I remember liking both of them quite a bit. So it's kind of interesting to look back now to see if anything's changed.
Oh, I meant to say this every podcast. We're trying to get ironed out to a general agenda. Our goal of this podcast, ultimately, is to figure out what made SDF so good and why that magic was never able to be fully captured again. Zero. it was a very iconic moment. And I, to be honest, I tried to rewatch it a couple of years ago. I think I was probably not as open to anime at that time. That kind of rewatching Macross has reopened me, because it wasn't as, I know we're kind of getting into the little bit first reaction, wasn't as bad as I remembered, but I think I started off in the middle or possibly watching Endless Waltz. And some of the, I guess maybe some of the early introductions weren't as bad as how some of them eventually ended up. First, hit me with your first reaction before we do my formal. Come on, what you got?
Well, in my opinion, it's not very good. It's sad because on certain aspects they are trying pretty hard. Like, I think the setting is unique. Certainly the uniforms are very unique. Feels like 1800s, like Napoleon level uniforms. Like, they're really cool.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like, it's so emo and. It's
I have
like,
so many notes that say emo on here.
It's like it's power fantasy, so unrealistic. Like the thing I describe Gundam Wing as is you can miss the enemy mechs and they still explode, and that literally it happened. I'm like, I remember that. That is how this is. You don't even have to shoot them and they still explode.
The first episode wasn't so bad for that. It started to get a little bit ridiculous in the second. When Duo could just sigh through, he was 1/32nd of the size of a ship.
And maybe, he sliced through a battleship in one swing.
But he could slice through a battleship in one swing.
So I want to defend the killing enemies in one blow. On episode one, whatever the Chinese dude one is, where he has the flamethrower, he used a flamethrower on airplanes and he shot between the airplanes and they exploded.
I didn't even catch that. So, okay, I have to step it back to the emo, is that you have five unique Gundams with five unique pilots that are all just a slightly different flavor of emo. That's how I would describe this. I love the art style. I do. I didn't think the first episode was super rough. It definitely wasn't as good as Seed or even, honestly, Mobile Suit Gundam. Mm-hmm. But I love the art style. I love the way they drew everything. I love the uniforms. I love the Gundam designs. I love the hand-drawn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me...
This is peak hand-drawn era.
It is peak hand-drawn. It really felt like if you had this art style with Seed... I mean, I want to watch the rest of Seed before I make this statement, but I feel if you had this art style with Seed, you'd probably have something quite spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... I will not watch the rest of this again, truthfully. I know I'm jumping the gun now to will you finish it? No. I probably will watch Endless Waltz just to round out that flavor.
And it's a movie, so it's not too much
right.
of a commitment.
The commitment's low. I'll probably do probably a little bit of feedback, even if it's like a little blog post on superdimensionalpodcast.com on my thoughts on watching Endless Waltz and to see if it leads into some of those bad tropes. And there were also some the bad tropes of just shooting near something and it blows up, but there were also some really good parts, like that first combat with Zex. He showed a lot of tacticalness. He used the Leo suit to latch mm-hmm. on to immobilize Hero. I don't remember. I know it's the 001. I don't remember the whole call sign for that Gundam. But to immobilize it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. This is a good first combat. This reminds me of like that first combat they were doing with Mobile Suit Gundam. It's a good callback. It's that good tactical meet-cute between... meet-cute's typically between lovers, but... I mean, let's face it. When you have the Char character and the Amaru character, it's a meet-cute of rivals. And, I mean, you see the end of that with... And Endless Waltz, I think, and I will watch that again.
Well, and just to go back to Seed, I think the whole mask-wearing character thing is best done in Seed, because that guy is, well, I think you described him as very flamboyant. And
yeah.
He is very unique in a character, and I think it works well for that they hit that rather than just one more guy with, blonde hair and he's got a mask on.
I mean, I honestly thought, I was sitting there thinking to myself, do I make the comment in the podcast that I think he's prettier than Relina? We'll get to that point. I like Zex more than most of the other characters in that series.
He is a very pretty man.
He is. And the maskless Zex at the end and his opposing Gundam. Pretty cool stuff. So, will you finish?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Nope.
Are you open to watching Endless Waltz?
I remember the animation quality is bonkers in Endless Waltz. I remember that being a really pretty movie.
Hand-drawn.
Yep.
And it follows that same, I will have to look at the release year, but it might be the last.
And it's like 2 hours and it's done. It's you can kind of say the same thing, like about Do You Remember Love, where some people have been like, I don't know if I want to go through like 36 episodes of Macross. I'm like, well, here's a movie. They jammed everything they could into 2 hours. Have fun. But it's like, if you think you don't like it, it's like you could just bail, and it's not like you spent 10 episodes watching something and then you decide to give up on it. So.
All right. So normally this is part where we bring up major staff connections to the episode. We kind of already hit that. SDF plus two or N plus two connection. Definitely a stretch, but we're going to reference Zero. For me, the actual connection really comes down to the Toonami aired Robotech for 1 year. And we ended up having to watch it on a loop and wonder why the heck it was we were watching it on a loop. And then this aired. And it was like, okay, we just wanted more SDF. This filled a gap for us. I mean, we all had that partner in our lives.
Well, and we're also at the emo age where
hit,
where when you compare things like, you know, Gundam Seed or even the original Gundam, it doesn't have quite the same emo feel to it. So it doesn't appeal to that age group quite as much as it could. Or at least they appealed to different aspects of that age group, where this one went straight for emo. And that was, I imagine it was a lot stronger in like the late 90s, the whole emo thing compared to it is now. Like it
My
was like
Chemical Romance, Paramore, Dashboard Confessionals, Panic at the Disco, Fallout Boy. I mean, all of these started.
Do you want me to get a knife?
Right. Like this is the time period in the States.
I listened to every one of those.
I know you did. I did too. I mean, it really starts with 2003, but yeah, I mean, it's all around that same time period. Emo was in. The Used, that's about the earliest I see on this list, 2002. But yeah, that's it was the emo time period, for sure.
And that's kind of bad. I guess we could talk about that a little bit later. Well, but it's kind of, but it like, it dates it. Like, when you latch on to a very specific thing that ended up not being very relevant to the future, you know exactly when they made this show just by looking at how emo it is.
And, like, even... Really?
The cat is the one that's making noise?
Yeah, last
There's
time we
literally
had a
two dogs on the couch, and they were completely silent.
Completely silent, and my very vocal. Not mine, that one's the kid's. That I do not claim that cat. I don't even close to. All right, so, yes, I have cats. We know I have dogs from the last episode.
I have something to... Cause
Go, because we're going to jump into the notes section anyway.
So here's
go.
The highlight notes. There is something that I like to call parts where they spent too much money. There's a part that it's like parts that are fire and parts that age like fine wine. I wrote the same thing for all three, and it is the fucking intro.
Okay. I mean, at all, I have not been shy about this, and I think I've even said it in some of our earlier episodes. That intro, Just Communication by 2Mix, is a banger. That the some of the combat music that they use inside of the show, bangers. Like it is too. I get goosebumps just thinking about that intro with 2Mix, and they do such a good job with the animation for it.
The
too.
Whole thing is like amazing. It's better than the entire show.
It is. Like we were joking a few minutes ago when we fired, because we watched one separate, watched two together. We each had slightly different versions. I did dubbed for the first one. You did subbed, but it was English subs on a Japanese audio
track. Yeah,
track,
so I'm
right?
like, wait, he didn't say that?
And then I actually had, thank you, Hulu, I had subbed with true subbed subtitles, which Hulu is shockingly good at anime. Mm-hmm. I mean, Disney. I mean, Hulu. I mean, whatever. So, yeah, it's that song is a banger. The some of the battle music, absolutely, like some of the best anime battle music. And then there's the exit song. Yeah, so that's, what do you call it, a waifu video for Relina?
I was taking notes on that. Let me see if I could find them.
find them
okay.
quick. Sorry. You went to intro. I
said,
I gotta
what
exit.
The fuck is this outro? I can't tell if it's supposed to be sexually appealing or not.
It's like supposed to
like specifically, she had one pose, which is her holding her hands up behind her head, and that is almost universally used as like a sexually appealing woman's pose to like show off her breast. That's the point of
the
pose.
Yeah, the hand behind the head.
Yeah, like that's the whole point. I'm like, why is this in here, and why are there a bunch of farm animals? Or not farm animals, but like zoo, like lions and rhinoceros and whatever.
You know, and maybe it's the emo period too, right? Not to say that I wasn't influenced by it, but... a lot of the boys were very, very pretty, very delicate, very decadent, and she was kind of a little bit more masculine. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm no hate, no shade. I like masculine women. I always have. It's a weird choice I have. I chose myself a very strong partner who is a woman, but she is very much wears very little makeup, much like Relina does, right? She doesn't go out of her way to beautify. How old is she supposed to be? Before I start talking then feel like a horrible person.
I'm just going to guess she's 15.
Whatever. Forget I said anything. I don't mean it that way. I'm just trying to point out the fact she didn't wear a bunch of makeup. She's not really...
Yeah, it was weird because she was like, you know, obviously like dressed up for her birthday party, you know, wearing a very frilly dress. But then the outro is like in safari.
Right. Yeah. And I felt like they were trying to sell that, hey, I'm not your typical girly girl. I mean, they made a comment at one point, like, some girls would get really bent out of shape if their dad wasn't focused on their birthday. It's like, you are, oh God, hold on. I wrote a whole section on this. Like, I wrote a small novel on this. Because it's just like, you are getting bent out of shape. So my notes are literally all over the place. I had to watch this twice because I was casually watching this on the couch when I, like, messaged you and said, hey, we're going to do Gundam Wing. And then I had to go back and actually... that's a rough shot. Dude knows his daughter's birthday is coming up, but she tells him to work. Then, inappropriate word about it. You are flipping out. Do not be a wet noodle. So she's like a wet noodle. They're trying to convince you she's not a wet noodle. And maybe it's just that internal dialogue stuff. But I don't know. There are some really cool stuff for me. If we're talking about... So we're specifically hitting on the... What parts do they spend too much money on, in your opinion?
For me, kind of the intro. parts that are laughably bad. This is the first time I've got several.
Yeah.
So, like you were saying, Relina being passive-aggressive AF. So, like, in the first episode, when, like, you know, Hero, like, attacks the ambulance people and steals the ambulance and leaves, and she's like, hello, my name's Relina Peacecraft. What's yours? Yeah. And he's, like, in the horizon. She's talking to herself. I'm like, wow, okay.
We haven't gotten to the part where I think he tried to kill himself before all that happened. He covered his face.
Yeah, he had like a little bomb thing on his chest, but it didn't like
hurt him. Did you see me?
Did you see my face?
Blows himself up, but it fails. Also, too, who has a suicide thing that's a button on your wrist that blows a hole in your chest? That just sounds like the worst. Like, dude, give me a serum, please. Like, I don't want to blow a hole in That sounds horrible. And to be honest, I don't even think it's entirely clear that he was trying to off himself.
It probably was, because the problem is they didn't watch episode 2 where he's immune to bullets. So they put a bomb on there thinking it would blow him up. But
he bled.
Yes, he... Okay, Matt, he got shot with the gun and he bled.
Before or after you wrote 3 rockets out to me.
That was before... the whole second episode is him trying to blow up his Gundam.
Yeah.
And he kills everyone on a submarine, and it's gonna, like, take... And we're not talking about, like, a little one going to the Titanic. We're talking about, like, a full-size military submarine. He killed everyone on it. He's loading it with the torpedoes, because I guess one guy can pilot it. And then when it doesn't work, because one of the other Gundams finds him, he, like, jumps onto the rockets and, like, kicks them.
Well, he sees the Gundams in the horizon, so he's like, I'm going to launch them at him.
He kicks them, and then they go off, even though, like, for some reason, they shouldn't work. Yeah, they take off, like, rockets, and he, like, falls into the water, and they, like, explode on the Gundams.
He rides them for a minute. I forget the fact that he actually rides them. And then
he's been shot 3 times and he's bleeding.
No, he's been shot once. Shot twice and shot at.
Mm-hmm.
So he was shot at 3 times with two hits, and he rode them out to sea, blew them up. And granted, the end of the episode is just him face down in the water, but we haven't even gotten to the Stockholm syndrome that Relina is facing at this point.
Oh yeah,
they're selling you this emo relationship on the grounds of Stockholm syndrome and Nightingale syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, and Duo's just sitting there like, I just shot this dude who had a gun pointed at you and you're bandaging him.
Well, not only that, but she's like, stop shooting him. She like jumps in front of him,
right?
So he wouldn't shoot him.
Oh my gosh. So it's like they're selling this emo relationship on the grounds of Stockholm syndrome and Nightingale syndrome within the first episode. Like, so super
and like,
emo.
So end of episode one, where she's like, here, come to my birthday party. And he rips the invitation in half. And she's like, she starts to cry. He walks by her, wipes a tear away.
Yes, yes.
And then he says, I'm going to kill you.
No, he just says, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Like, literally, it's Jeffrey Dunham, I think, is the puppet. All I could hear is, I kill you, by the terrorist puppet. That's all I could hear is, I kill you. I was like, oh God, this is so emo. Emo. I have emo in like 13 different notes here.
It's overwhelming.
It is. So laughably bad for me for the animation was they challenged certain physics things, and they had like friction, atmosphere, breaking away of things, but yet underwater they even talk about the thermal weapon underwater, but like Gundams, maybe it's just they're trying to sell them as OPAF, but I have that note in here too. It's just that's the biggest thing. It's every Gundam is a god machine in this.
There's nothing at stake. Like, so even after Hero launches those torpedoes and he's convinced it will destroy them, what did it do? It knocked them back into the water. They didn't even take any damage.
Oh, so let's just talk about the different brands of emo we have. So Duo is like your cool emo guy, right?
He's like long-haired cool emo guy.
Yeah, and then Troa,
he speaks with animals, emo.
Yeah, and I prefer animals over people. You guys don't understand them. And then you have I can never pronounce his name.
Quatra.
Hey guys, be cool, peace, love. So I gotta bring this up from the first episode. Like, we don't have to do this. Put your guns down. I don't even know the quote, but it's just like, literally, you cannot talk peace with a gun in someone's head.
Yeah, he's literally going into battle with a god killing machine, and he's like, let's not fight.
Let's not fight.
It's easy for you to say, buddy.
The emo hippie, and then Chang. I don't remember too much about his character. I never made a strong connection there. But just kind of that strong discipline emo, I guess. But it feels like they're all slightly unique flavors of emo. And Hero's just layers of emo. Apparently he's awesome at everything, though.
Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of Gundam Jesus going on here.
There is. I can fence, I can ride a horse, I can ride fucking ride rockets.
Same episode. I didn't know leading into that with showing how good he was on horses.
I'm trying so hard not to cough. I had to clear my throat on that one. I figured while you were laughing was a good time to do it. I've been fighting a cold all week. But yes, I can ride horses. I can ride anything. I can ride fucking missiles. All right, let's get back to our actual notes section now. So
let's say parts were laughably bad. I know I've mentioned it, but mechs blowing up even when you miss them.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times you hit them with one bullet and they explode. And it's not like cool animation explode where you see the parts go away. It disappears into a nuclear explosion.
Or just a circular ball.
Yeah. It's also probably, I was joking about it before, I am glad I got it from somewhere, Gundanium.
Yes, you did actually. That was episode two? Was that one or two that you brought that up?
Maybe both, but
right. I thought about that when I saw that. It was like, Marsha's right. It's made out of Gundanium.
So it's not like Gundam Seed, where it has a special type of armor like that is electric and it has to be turned on or phase shift.
It's just OPAF.
Yeah, it's Gundanium. We got it from somewhere. It's really strong.
It's OPAF. Yeah, it's just some special super space.
Well,
material.
In a world where you miss your enemies and they still explode, having a guy that you can miss and it doesn't explode, or having a guy you can hit and it doesn't explode, is incredibly OP. And it's like it's like this whole anime is like power fantasy anime. It's weird.
It really is.
It's hard. And this is probably the adults in us, but it's hard to take it seriously when there's no stakes. Like, you never at once are like, I wonder if he's going to die, or at least the Gundam pilot. Like, in a lot of shows, you're like, well, he's the main character, so he probably won't. But here, you're like, you don't even think about it because it's not even close. You're just like, all right, I wonder when all these guys are going to die because a Gundam shows up. And that's even the point. Like, when Zex is like, anyone who sees a Gundam dies, and he says that in both episodes. Because that is how OP they are, where even if you try to run away, they'll still kill you. They won't even let you escape. So even if you're in a helicopter, they'll still shoot you.
Okay. Parts that are fire and parts that age like wine. For me, any Gundam series, Gundam plus fire equals cool scene.
Yeah.
It's you saw it at the end of the first episode with Quatra, and you saw it with Duo in the second episode. It's fire plus Gundam equal cool. it did it for me. I love those shots, and they pull that, and that seems to be like a Gundam norm across all of the different series.
Mm-hmm.
Fire, what you got?
For me, it's actually just the intro. I don't really think there's that much truly amazing stuff here. No. It's well done. Like, the whole show is, for what it is, well done. But there's nothing...
Oh, art, the drawing. It's so well drawn.
I'm less attached to it than you are, but I will recognize that this is, like, as good as TV hand-drawn art ever got.
It is.
Especially considering they're animating these Gundams, too. It's not like they're, you know, hand-drawn characters, but computer Gundams. All right.
What age like wine? Because I couldn't think of a single thing. God just knows it's not the relationship
it's the intro.
Between Relina. That's true. It is held up.
It has nothing to do with the show.
The intro, the intro, the intro.
Oh, here's the challenge. Name a better one.
No. No, I can't. Not an anime intro. Honestly, not an anything intro. It's just, so the way it cuts, the way it does everything.
I'm sure you did the same thing. Like in high school, we like when our like 56K modems or whatever, you probably actually had some amount of high speed internet. But
zero till I had DSL.
Yeah, we would download like the intro like just video file and just like watch it on our computer.
Yeah.
It was so good. Like it was plenty entertaining just to watch the intro.
I had this video connection out to my freaking TV. Just have Dragon Ball and
Gundam. I'd wait 5 hours to download this 2 minute video because it's so cool.
Yeah, it was. So it's funny. So I do notes a little differently. You kind of align the notes to it. I take notes at the time and then I see which note hits me when we do the topics. But you're right. What age like why? The intro. What is fire? The intro. What did they spend too much money on? The intro. What's the best music? The intro. What's the best art and animation? The intro. So yes, we can agree the intro is fire. What aged like milk?
Well, the ending animation is just kind of weird. Like, I guess I don't understand where they're going, but it's weird. But you could kind of like put a pin on that. I would say the most milk-like thing here is just the emo stuff. It's just, that's just not young kid culture anymore. And it's just, especially as almost a 40-year-old looking at it, it's like,
it's rough.
It does not hit, like, in the slightest.
It's not high school kids today. It's not high school kids yesterday. It's the writing. And it's probably the way they wrote it so centered around those emo personas that just don't pull forward. To your point, we brought it up several times. Voice acting, typical Gundam stuff.
The problem is those, at least with the English voiceover, that they use those same voice actors for like every single Gundam series that they went back and did. So they do not feel real unique at all. They all feel the same because we've heard them in like 10 different shows.
I also thought of something else that is. That age, like absolute milk.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that you can tell a girl is your smile. You're prettier when you smile. Every girl who was told that growing up, I mean, whoever told them that should be punched in the face. That is the worst thing. Like, and it's the telling Relina to smile. I want to see your smile. That feels so controlling and damaging. It's concerning. Does it feel dated in any way? The writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
Like the actual Gundam stuff is fine. The art's fine. That all carries over just fine. It's just the writing just feels dated. It's just weird, but it doesn't hit like all of the other Gundam series as old as they are, or even the newer ones. I just feel like they're just more relevant.
Yeah, and that's the challenge is there's nothing relevant to modern society today.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think?
Yeah, pretty much. It doesn't. Like, from what I remember, the plot definitely goes into, like, you know, pacifism and the idea of using, well, AI to control or to fight wars rather than people. And that's, like, the major element where one side is like, no, we want to use people so it matters. And the other side's like, no, we just want to win wars. But it's like that.
There's some politics stuff. Mm-hmm. So I guess if we're going to talk about what's really relevant, you have the military fighting itself. So in this, they added that third wild card element that Zex and, oh gosh, I can't remember the name of the other guy. I got to go to my notes. Treas.
Yeah.
Treas. So there were a couple of really cool lines. I love this from, like, I unfortunately work in corporate America. So there was a line here that resonated. If we were at Oz 15 years ago, this never would have happened. And that was kind of cool from, like, when I start thinking about some of the writing that had some stuff where they were thinking about the politics, two organizations trying to coexist together. I mean, that's about the only thing that I think holds merit with the writing. And I don't know how much it pulls forward because I do not intend to watch. Guarantee they're going to have zero of that in Endless Waltz. Mm-hmm. They're just going to have things blowing each other up. Yeah. What did it innovate? I mean, Gundam...
Not nothing, really.
Gundam is this continual copy of itself, almost, yeah, in a way, where it's always borrowing elements from itself to release new iterative versions. It might have... I mean, so if we look at something, I can say about the only thing that it really innovated was, I mean, it was the first Gundam series to gain significant popularity outside of Japan.
But...
Because of Toonami.
But that's the exact same thing with like, Robotech. It all happened more or less at the same time.
Right. And again, I think we just wanted more Robotech, yeah, and we settled for this. And, to be honest, that 14-year-old emo kid in me...
I mean, that resonated, but I never liked this more than Robotech.
I never did either. So, I'm trying to think here. Sound effects, anything of merit there?
No. I think it's fine. There's nothing, like, the quality, overall quality of the show is fine.
The production value,
it just shows you, like, maybe this is the difference between adult and, like, a teenager, but it's, like, it's the writing. When the writing's not there, it doesn't matter how good the show looks or sounds, you just kind of don't connect to it.
So we're going to finish this, but I'm going to make a promise to anybody who's still listening at this point. We will play you as much of just communication after this as we are legally allowed, and we will give you every link that you can to find that song and just listen to it forever. I asked for it on Spotify.
Or how about, like, because we've been talking about it, link in the description or whatever for the intro, which is almost certainly on YouTube somewhere.
Well, it's on YouTube. We'll do a Spotify, yeah, link as well. So, it's just absolute. And honestly, you need to look at the art for it. Like, say what you, for me, that intro and the art style. Mm-hmm. I love that art style. It is iconic in itself. It is just, and I think, again, it was, Macross is timeless. This is definitely dated, mm-hmm, because of the story. What did Macross accomplish in the same amount of episodes? So this did progress the story a lot in non-specific kind of shadowy ways. So I do think they progressed a lot, but some of the stuff they progressed was...
It suffers from the sense that it's trying to tell the five stories all at the same time. So it kind of wasted time. Like, we really only got, like, 1.5 stories because Hero's been the main character and then, like, Duo comes in at the second half of the second episode.
Right.
So it's like we only get a little bit. And that, like, I like where they're going with it, but the problem is it any individual character doesn't get that much attention when they have five stories and they're all, from what I remember, they kind of do their own thing a lot and they kind of group up and split up and fight against each other and join. Like, they don't actually become, like, a cohesive group until, like, the end of the show.
When they must.
Yeah.
Yeah, the let's get together.
I mean, that is kind of unique where the five pilots are all on the same side, but they all, like, fight against each other.
God, why would they be fight against each other, sometimes be cool with each other? I'm emo, bro.
It's kind of the same thing.
You can't pin me down, man. I'm emo. It depends what I'm feeling that day. Okay, sorry. I'll stop. But yes, it's rough. So we just compared it to Macross. This is the point where we come where we score it.
Well, what about other just general notes?
Yeah. I'll go through my general notes too. I'll add a section to the agenda where we got to go through all general notes now. Even if they're just funny stuff that we wrote down in the middle of this, which I know I've got a bunch.
Oh, I was like, this is kind of interesting. Because, like, it's basically a trope to have this minutes long world building intro to all of these shows. Not only that, but the first episode gets its intro, but then every subsequent episode, it's like they have to spend another 60 seconds describing the world. And, of course, it's because it releases every week and they need to, like, remind people of the show. But I'm like, wait a minute. This is a 30-minute time slot and there's legit, like, 20 minutes of show because they're spending all this time on, well, not only commercials, but intros, outros on the next episode. What happened last episode? Here's the world building.
Yep, I have the same note. Does the replay of the scenario again? I mean, it might be a Gundam thing that pulls forward. Does Seed do that?
Yeah, okay. I think it did. At least in certainly the earlier episodes.
Slice, boom, fire.
Here's a cool thing. There was the Leo that Zex was in.
Yeah,
and he was, like, falling down, and someone took one of the flying ones and like slapped a parachute on his back so he wouldn't die when he hit the ground.
That was a tactical fight. Like that was actually that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. There were some really redeemable elements. No Gundam Jesus here, just a bunch of emo kids, each with unique flavor of emo. That's literally what I have for a note.
The weapons are like completely over the top. Like even even the non-Gundam weapons. So like when Zex was in the Leo and he had like whatever that gun was and he missed, but it was the most giant explosion ever. I'm like, how do you not win wars with one of these? Like it's so like insane.
Unless it's a handgun.
Yeah.
A handgun pointed at a person apparently doesn't do enough damage.
I said this show is a shocking combination of awesome and meh.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they managed that.
I don't. Well, it's the emo. It's the writing. It's the writing. And for its time, it was okay, but it just doesn't hold up because society got past that phase. We got tired of whining and complaining.
Not only like what did Relina do her like talk to herself thing, but there's like, I feel like a couple of times every episode where she just does a silent stare. Where, like, she just stares at someone, or the camera just focuses on her while she's, like, introspective.
This is the worst relationship ever between two characters, and the fact that it's a major subplot of the entire... they're both emo. It is... Wow, I literally have, after the whole gun thing, where he's putting a gun at her, and then Duo shoots him... I mean, we already went through this pattern once. And then she jumps in front of him to protect from Duo shooting him again. I mean, this is psychotic.
It's weird.
Like, it's... But then, of course, after that, I have Ride the Rocket, Mother Bleeper, cringe.
Oh, so... So you thought, like, well, it's probably worse, Riding the Rockets. What about... the one where he sneaks into the base like a Terminator, like holding himself up underneath the truck, and then he just lets go and falls on the ground.
You know, honestly, if you told me by the end of the second episode that he's a machine himself and he is made out of Gundam parts, I'd be like, that explains it. That explains it. He cannot connect with other people in a decent way. He's a machine. He can get shot and he can be okay. He can ride rockets. He can cling to cars. Like, if you told me that he was like a TX, whatever the one is, that can... Oh, gosh, whatever. I'm not going down this rabbit hole, but yes. I said,
it's a Gundam show, but it's also a rich kid high school drama.
If it is.
Surprisingly, a large amount of those first two episodes were that. I'm like... Less, please. Like, I actually want more of the Gundam stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because this is not hitting, like, at all. And another thing I said is, how rich can we make these rich kids? Because it's like, they're rich. Like, what I was referring to is, like, one of their classes is, of course, the horse riding class. I'm like,
oh, Spider-Man, by the way, when he's riding under the car. Oh, I put Spider-Man. You went with Terminator, but yes.
But yeah, he was holding, like legs and arms outstretched, like Spider-Man just holding on the bottom.
Yeah. Not only that, but the underside of cars get hot.
Yes, they do. And there's also, like, spinning things under there.
Yes. So, yeah. This is Gundam Wing. Are we going to score it now?
Yeah. All right. Let's try to actually send them at the same time.
Okay.
I do have my score. Let me put it in.
Mine's going to be real harsh.
Well, also, remember...
All right.
It goes down. No, hold on. It goes down to zero. It's not like what IGN review where they're not allowed to go below a 7. So those numbers are down there for a reason.
Well, I have to. Before you send this, I have to caution you. That intro. I don't know if you know this. How intros work is at the beginning of every episode.
Mm-hmm.
So does that count towards the overall quality that we get that intro?
I mean,
just communication by two mix.
It is 30 seconds of every episode.
It's the best 30 seconds of every episode.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't really want to watch a show, but I get to watch the intro one more time if I start another episode.
Exactly. So I want to challenge anybody who's listening to this. Find me 30 seconds of Gundam Wing that is more fire than that intro.
They won't.
Find it. Find
Not
me.
Endless Waltz, because you probably could.
Well,
so that last little ending bit is pretty cool.
That is. But then again, you shoot a blast, and it's just literally... I remember there are scenes there where the blast just takes up the entire screen and everything vaporizes. Like, it's pretty bad in some ways for some of the tropes that we talked about. But any episode of Gundam Wing, find me 30 seconds that is more fire than this intro.
Ready to send?
Nope. I am now.
All right, send.
I might even want to change mine. Oh, God, I went lower than you.
Oh, my God. All right. I did 5.5.
I did 4.
Oh, man.
It's bad because there's a part of me that really wants to like it and I want to give it higher, and the art style is great and everything else, but it's just, it's so cringeworthy. Yeah. And I almost want to ask somebody who didn't watch it when it aired, just be like, hey, am I just being critical of an emo version of me saying that this is not acceptable behavior anymore? I mean, not that pointing a gun at a girl you like is acceptable behavior, or you point a gun at your love, like, sorry. Hero is a walking, if there was an emo kid that was a walking red flag, it'd be Hero.
Yeah.
Like, and Relina obviously, like, has daddy issues.
It's not just the emo stuff. Like, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it. Like, that might knock it down a point or two. It doesn't make it a four because it's
the writing. Emo.
It's all of it. Like, him being immune to bullets. The Gundams being immune to bullets.
Combat just being slice, hit, explode. Like, it's very formula-esque. And I struggle. I feel like the art style's great. The music's great. But again, the best part of the episode for me is that intro, that 30 seconds. It gives me shivers to think about. I love it every time. But this is, I'd love to get a third party opinion, somebody who's never seen it. I may show my wife. My wife watches anime, so she's not going to be totally out of the blue. That intro
is the most Macross thing about this show of, wow, that is really amazing. Wow, that's really bad. And it's all in the same show. But usually, Macross is the other way around, where most of it is awesome, and then there's this one part you have to laugh at, where this is the completely other way around, where you're laughing the entire time, except the intro where no one is talking and everyone is staring at the screen.
Yeah, and the Macross intro grows on you, as bizarre as that sounds, where you just begin to appreciate it for its quirkiness. But the intro can get me excited about the show, and then the show just kind of makes me level out. I don't know, maybe I've just become a snob with writing. So you went with 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, hit me with what you got. I went with a 4. Hopefully I said
that out
loud.
It's in relation to Sailor Moon, which will come later. I'm rating it based on how likely I would be to review it or to watch it again. So I'm basically like lining it up with other shows. So like every episode, I've got to say Orgus at least one time.
Right.
Like Orgus is an 8. So to me, I would be so much
Orgus more... Orgus is an 8 for you. We haven't chatted about that. It's a 7 for me.
Yeah, okay. But either way, that is way more watchable to me than this. And it's funny because sooner or later, people are going to like, look at Orgus and be like, how do you, this is not good. I'm looking at these pictures of the Orgus. It looks like garbage. It's more fun than this. I would rather watch it.
It's fun. It's fun. And there's something to be said for fun. I call it the Dragon Ball effect, the original Dragon Ball. It's fun. It's fun. It's quirky. It's weird. It's got a journey. It's got a goal. And then it gets dark and surprises you every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And Orgus does a lot of the same. It's fun. It's quirky. You got your Master Roshi character who can't figure out boundaries with women. And they grow. And they learn.
Nope. And like going back to, I think I gave, or we both gave the original Gundam a 7. And that's infinitely more watchable than this. It's not even close.
It's funny because the animations, the art style, and everything else, but it's fine for what it is.
It has writing, like real writing.
It has real writing, real character development. Maybe I need to revisit. Maybe my 4 is a little harsh. Maybe I need to bring it up to a 5, but I can't.
I mean, if you, like prior to this, your opinion was, I can't even get through the first episode. And I don't think you would have unless we were doing this.
That's why, and I knew we were going to keep using it as a measuring stick, and I had to face it again since we were doing this. And I'm going to have to face a lot. And again, I had a bigger appreciation for it that now that I've reconnected with my 14-year-old self and my love of anime and being more open-minded to anime than I've been over the past several years. But I can tell you why I turned it off. Mm-hmm. It's that I got to I'll kill you, and I was like, this is ridiculous. This is a walking joke. Like I just couldn't do it. I got through all the way. I didn't even tell you where I turned it off. I knew where I turned it off. I'll kill you. That was where. Like, oh, fuck. Okay. So on that note, we're gonna do something infinitely more fun for the next podcast.
And we know what it's gonna be this time because we've already
We already watched it. We already even have notes on it, but we're gonna like rewatch it in the background as we do the next podcast. So where are we at time wise on this? How do we do this time?
It'll just say,
hey, 44, not bad. Uh-huh. So we're hitting pretty consistent there.
Yep.
I'm excited to get these. Most people don't have this much content when they start a podcast. We're gonna have like 4 episodes.
So, So yeah, we actually know the next episode is going to be on Sailor Moon.
It is going
it
to be on Sailor Moon.
It actually has a Macross SDF connection, a big one.
It has a SDF plus one connection that's not a emotional connection or historical connection for us. But I do think, especially in the States, there is an informal connection between Gundam Wing and Robotech.
Yep.
So.
All right, well, we'll see you on the next episode.
See y'all.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Super Dimensional Podcast. We have more episodes on the way, so stay tuned. Big shout out to Digging for Roots on SoundCloud. Catch y'all later.